Let us begin this service by singing number 144, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 144. O God, the God that saves me, remove my guilty stains, and I will sing thy righteousness in grateful joyous strains. Number 144, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. We first read to you the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Further, we read to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter, and we start with verse 53, the 14th chapter. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death. and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another and made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answer thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. And the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy, what think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when he saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Art thou also west with Jesus of the Nazareth? But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch and the cook crow, and the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agrees thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. This verse. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is again, and for the third time in this Sabbath day, that we are privileged to come under thy word and testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation. Thy mercy and thy long suffering is great towards us, young and old, great and small, that we may realize it, that it make deep impression in our hearts, and that it brings us in the valley of deep humiliation before thee. Make us concerned about the honor of thy precious name, but also of the salvation of our never-dying soul. We are all travelers to that great and ever-ending eternity, and soon the time shall be there that also for us that angel of death shall come, sent out by thee, to take our life away out of this world, and that it become eternity. Lord, by nature we are placing the day of death far away, but that it may please thee to remember us in thy loving kindness, in thy tender mercy, in thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, in whom thou art well pleased forever, and to grant unto us in this evening an ear to hear and a heart to observe, but also a mouth and tongue to speak right the words of eternal life about the suffering of Christ, what it has cost him to satisfy the justice of his Father, but also to merit salvation for his people. In what strife and agony that he came, both for soul and body, and what it was for him, all that disdain and slandering, so awful as that it even is not heard, even very seldom, amongst the children of men. And that the Lord of glory, that he have to suffer that all, to deliver his people and to crown them with loving kindness and with his grace and with his favor. Lord, open in this evening thy word and testimony for our mind and for our heart, and strengthen and sustain us with all thy servants over the length and breadth of the earth, also those that are laboring in the mission fields. Give them all that they stand and need for that task that is laid upon their shoulders, that thy kingdom come over the length and over the breadth of the earth, in our heart, in our families, in our church, in our country, amongst our boys in the service. We commend them also at thy throne, that the fear of thy name be given in their heart and far away from their homes, that they are not living after the lust of the flesh, but that they always are realizing that the time is come that we have to appear before that great judge. Strengthen all the widows and orphans and widows, and all those that are in bereavement amongst us. Also one of the widows in the day of tomorrow, she will remember with her children that she is on earth for 89 years, and notwithstanding all the weaknesses and infirmities of the body, but also as a widow most of the years that she was in the world, Lord, give her at the end of her life the desire of their heart where she is looking for and after, and strengthen her both for soul and body. Remember all of us in thy condescending mercy, all those that came back from the hospital, also that Father, after his operation, made it further well with him too. And sanctify all the warnings and all the trials to their hearts, that it bears fruit of repentance, not to be repented of. Lord, be with all of us in speaking and hearing. Give thy people a rich measure of thy spirit in this evening in their heart. Strengthen them in their most holy faith. Give them courage and give them comfort on their pathway to the desert of this world, to that heavenly Jerusalem. Forgive our sins and strengthen us by thy almighty hand. For Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 414. We start with this first stanza. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes, who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they that rise to my dismay, and day by day distress me. Number 414, and we commence with the first stanza. Thank you. My text in this evening is in the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter. We start with verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answer thou nothing? What is it which they witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. And the high priest asked him, again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." This far. Time and again, congregation, we are confronted with the suffering of Christ and with several people that is involved in it. This time it are the chief priests, the elders and the scribes, and also the Sanhedrin. The chief priests were that people that was placed above the families of the common priest. They have to take order in regard to the work of the priest and to all that was laid upon them. The elders that were the scribes that were the elders that were the people chosen out of the nation that had a great influence amongst the people. It were most of the time the rich people in the country, and those that were also well educated. The scribes, that is the same as those that had their work in the synagogue to instruct the people in the law of Moses and in the writings of the different prophets. The Sanhedrin was also involved, but it seems out of the connection of the texts that it was not a special meeting that was called together. It seems in connection with the other evangelists that it was well in their mind to call a special meeting in the evening, but this meeting was not special called. Of course, they were all in the hurry to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. This afternoon I have expressed and what finally the reason were why that Sanhedrin was so against the Lord Jesus Christ. From the beginning that Christ came in the world, they were never taken up en teken over bij Christ. En wanneer dit realiseert dat Christ dit not accept de religion, then from that time on, that enmity that was in their heart, that was as burning towards the Lord Jesus Christ. There was for them nothing that lay in the future than to crucify Christ. They have called different persons to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the evangelists said that they have hired some people to do so. What an awful thing, because they have realized in their conscience that it was impossible that anybody could bring something in against that Christ as an ground to sentence him. Christ himself, he said in John 8, who convinces me of sin? Much different congregation as it is with us. If they in public have to ask to come with something towards us, then I think it was not a long time and the people have a great list with all kind of accusations. Even in your own family, a man against his wife, a wife against her husband, parents against the children, and children against the parents. But here, in regard to the Son of God, there was nothing. In Matthew, you find that there came many to accuse him. Many. And it was that people that was before with Christ, before they have followed him. You read in John 6 that there were thousands and thousands of people that followed him because they have eaten of the bread. They were not interested in him as Savior, no. But they have in their mind to make him a king, an earthly king, to be delivered from the Roman emperor and to have a life as they had before, as a free nation. But now later on, when that became all for that people a disappointment, then they revealed their enmity against that Christ. Revealing what by nature is congregation in the heart of men. Whether we believe yes or no, but we are all enemies of the Lord. And sooner or later, then there comes out. The Lord, he said in his word so clear, that we do not desire that he will be a king over us. By nature, then for men, I hope you can understand what I say now to you. By nature, then it was much an easier life for men if there was no God. If there was no God. In what respect that man could live himself out. Now there is always a certain fence that is our conscience. And a conscience that reminds us of a righteous God and a righteous judge. And that we have to come before him one day to give an account of our whole life. But otherwise, you think also but it once shall be in hell, where men shall curse the Lord forever and forever, where he shall reveal his enmity in such a way and manner as he never had done here in the world. Never. And now that enmity that came up, especially in the hall of Caiaphas, because there were so many people that would accuse him. But what was now the trouble? What happens now when somebody came to say something and to lay something before that Christ, some of his statements or remarks that he had made, then there was immediately another one who was standing up and who was saying no. Because you have heard that this evening by the reading of that chapter, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Neither so did the witness agree together. Thus, that one man, he thought, I have found something, and now I shall have soon the favor of that high priest Caiaphas. But then there was another man standing up, and then he came against that accuser, and he said, no, in the way that you are talking and speaking now, that were not the words of Christ. You have even added something to it, because he had not said all those words. No. And of course that was one of the greatest arguments against that Christ, an accusations. One. And of course, that people in that time, that Jewish people that were swearing by the temple, you know that. Not swearing by the Lord, no, they refused to do that. But swearing by the temple. That sanctuary that was for the people, everything. And even on the cross, when Christ was crucified, then the people came even back to that word, that he must have spoken in his life, and also later on with Stephen, the same thing, then they laid that charge also to him, speaking words against the law and against the temple. But of course, it was clear enough that Christ, he had no thoughts about the earthly temple. He said in John 2, referring to his body, does not to that building on the Mount Moriah, but referring to his body, break this temple, and I shall restore him after 3 days. And that was the truth, because he said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to restore my life. This command I had received from my Father. Thus you can well realize, people, and that is now for God's children such a comfort and a strength in their life, that surety who was standing there before that Caiaphas, that he was innocent, that he was without any sin. And that there was not the one in the world that could find anything against him. And so, in that way, Christ was a surety of his church. But of course, he had taken upon him all the sins and iniquities of his people. Our life, that is nothing else than sin. Mountains and mountains. If the Lord open our eyes over all that have taken place in our life, outwardly and inwardly, then we can expect nothing else than to be cast away in that outer darkness where shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then there shall be a time in our life that we have to accept it, that the Lord is right in all his ways and in all his actions. When he cut us off, when he sent us to hell. And now for that people that have done what is evil in God's sight, for that people that had never one word to excuse for himself, but that have to say yea and amen upon all what their conscience said and what the Lord said. And now for that people, Christ had given himself. What an eternal wonder that the Father had given his Son. That the Son has given himself. And that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that he had enabled that Christ to give himself as a sacrifice and as an offering for our sins. But you can realize, people, it is so necessary that it all become a reality in our life. For thousands and thousands is what have taken place in the life of Christ, nothing else than in history. Next week, not this week that is coming, but the following week, then there are so many meetings. They sent this week me also an invitation for some meeting next week following, where one professor shall speak about the suffering of Christ. And they have written in that invitation that the last time there were more than 4,500 people together listening to the history of the suffering of Christ. And they hoped, of course, that this year that the attendance was nog greater than the last year. But if you come to the point, people, what is now the contents of all those things? Shall they come in the matters? Shall they bring up that it is our sins? Oh yes, they cannot well mention that. They cannot mention that too. But so on the surface, so cold and so dead, that it is nothing else than all had now. But if there now was a standing a man as Ambrosius, who has written, looking to Christ, that book about the humiliation and the exaltation of Christ, then I would go there too. Oh yes. Then I would have a place also. But alas, in most of the cases, 'tis all on the surface, people, and a disappointment. They come not to the point, to the real point, that it were our sins and that it were our transgressions, because we have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ with our sins and with our transgressions. We have filled that cup that he had to empty it. And if that now become a reality, people, personally reality in our life, then we shall have something, as you read by the prophet Zechariah, that they shall see unto him, do they have pierced him, and that they shall cry, that they shall weep, that they shall lament, because I have done it. I am the person. And now Christ, he suffered for his church to take away all the faults, no, the founded and grounded accusations against us. You read in the Bible in Colossians about that handwriting that was against us. And that handwriting that is from this earth to heaven, on account of all our sins and all our transgressions, but that Christ now bear our iniquities, that he will place his people free, free even here in this life, and free even when death shall come, and that they shall have an entrance into that heavenly Jerusalem, and that there shall never any cursing against that people. That is the future for God's children. Could they live more with that and became it, was it more applied to their heart personally? I think that people that have more comfort here in their life, because we are more on the Mount Sinai than on the Mount Calvary. And on the Mount Sinai, there it is nothing else than curse, domination. But on the cross of Calvary, there is freedom. There is liberty for the whole church of God. And there they receive that comfort that all their sins are forgiven, cast away in that sea of eternal forgiveness, and that the Lord shall no more remember the sins and iniquities of his people. But we have to go further. It was for that Caiaphas also an awful thing to find any ground to sentence Christ, to sentence him unto death. There was only one thing, and of course that covered the whole life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. Never could take that over. That was for that Jewish people always a stumble block, even from the beginning that he came in the world. They talk about him as the son of Joseph, the son of the carpenter, and they say his mother Mary is with us. Sometime they say, you shall will say that you was before Abraham. You are even at 50 years old. And Abraham, he died so many years ago. Sometime they took up stones to stone him because he declared with freedom and with liberty that he was the eternal Son of God. But now the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answer thou nothing? What is it with these witnesses against thee? Because that was also an awful thing that Christ say nothing to him. He thought that is an offense. That is awful that Jesus of Nazareth towards me, the high priest, such a big man in the country and in the church, that he say not one word to me. But of course, Christ held his peace and answered not. Why did he not answer him? In the first place, all that they brought against him, that was wrong. There was not one word that was true. There was no value at all in it for Christ to say something. No. And then, of course, as a surety of the church, he held his peace. He showed there that he was the Son of God. And the surety of the church in that respect, that he was standing there instead of his people. And now that people that is worthy to be speechless for all eternity. And to take that now away for all that people. And that they receive the privilege to open their mouths. Come, and I will tell you what the Lord has done to my soul. Even Christ held his peace there, that for God's children are coming times in their life that they freely can talk against the devil. That happens not so many times, you know that. But there are moments in the life of God's people that they may do it. And even it happens that they do it in the power of Christ. That they experienced that he go away. Years ago, there was one woman, I say to her here in Grand Rapids, is the devil not coming to you sometimes? She said, yes. Yesterday he came, not in the evening. And I say to that dying woman, what have you done with? She said, I sent him away. I sent him away. And he go away. He go away. Yeah. What a blessing. And it was in person. She was vexed with that devil for years and for years. For years and for years, but when death came, he had no more to say anything. Then you can see what God is for his people. And the power of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, all congregation, young and old, great and small, but must we fly as dove to the windows to that Christ Jesus to find in him our liberty, to find in him our comfort, to find in him all our strength for time and for eternity, and to exercise that faith. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Persecution, suffering, even death. And then he said, no, nobody shall separate me from the love of Christ, because his work, that was a perfect work. And it is a blessing when it is revealed to our soul, but it is also a blessing when it is applied to our heart, and that we for ourselves may bear away the benefits and the fruits of it. That the Lord give us the privilege that Christ is our shield and that be behind that shield, that we are sitting there down, so quiet, and with so much freedom and liberty in our heart, that even the devil, and that even death, can do no evil to our soul. That are happy times in the life of God's dear children. Oh, congregation, we all, we must well be jealous. We all must well be behind that all the time. And then we shall also experience this is life eternal. That they know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, and that it is also that Spirit that placed us in the liberty of the gospel, united us with Christ, and that all the benefits of that Christ are applied to our heart, and that that is the only ground and the only foundation of our eternal salvation. Christ held his peace that God's people soon forever can sing of the ways of the Lord. We sing about that now, number 193, the poor man's cause he will maintain. The needy he will bless, and he will break the strength of those who would the poor oppress. 193, 3 and 4. And again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Art thou the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? Did you realize, people, what there was in that question? In the first place, that Caiaphas, he said, the Son of the Blessed. He said, not the Son of God. No. But the Son of the Blessed. You know that Jewish people that was always against it to mention the name of God. They would not take up the name of God. Even here, Caiaphas, he will not mention the name of God, and therefore he said, the Son of the Blessed. That was now finally the point where he had to come. It was all the timer, from one thing to another, roundabout. But here is the cardinal point. The stumble block that lay all those years that Christ was in the world. They have refused with all that was in them to confess that he was the Son of God. You know, Peter, he said in Matthew 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the answer of Christ was flesh and blood. Have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. This congregation to confess with our heart and with our soul that Christ is the Son of God, that is something that must be given us out of heaven. That means with our heart. We can well say that with our mind, but that we say it with our heart, that is something else. And then Christ held not his peace. No. No. When it goes over his own honor, then he held his peace. But where it now goes over the honor of his Father, then he said, I am. I am. The same as that you find in Exodus 3 verse 14. Where the Lord revealed himself to Moses. And then he said also to Moses, I am whom I am. The unchangeable, the everlasting Jehovah. I am. The same as you read in Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. And what is now so remarkable? As soon as Christ had answered that Caiaphas and that Sanhedrin, then he added something to it. And then he said, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Remarkable why that Christ added something to it, because he was not standing before the cross. And that word that he added to that for Caiaphas, that was a word of victory, a word of the conquering Christ. It was the certainty of his glory. And ye shall see. The case of Christ is not an hopeless case. No. Christ, he know that he came through it, that he came over it, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. That word that refers and that reminds us Daniel 7, verse 13. Daniel 7, where we read the words, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. That is one part of that word of Christ. But the second part of that word that is referring to Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And now that word of victory that Christ spoke there in the state of his deep humiliation that was about his glorification and the authority of him as a power of a judge, says of the whole world. We have that word also to see this evening as a final admonition for the Sanhedrin and as especially for Caiaphas, a final admonition. After this word, Christ would no more speak to him. Then it was done. What a thought, congregation, a final admonition. So it can be for me and you in this evening too. We are standing here and sitting here, but shall we see one another again on this side of the grave, people? It is possible that the next week in our bulletin that our name or that your name is written there. Do we believe it? No. We are so healthy. We cannot do so much. But as a flower, as the grass of the field, and we are cut off, and it is done. How many warnings, congregation, did we receive already in our life? How many warnings? How many admonitions? Some here sitting with us had an accident this week. Car totally damaged. Self-spared. what happens day after day, from moment to moment, and we place it all so far away from us. But Christ, he said, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Christ, he traveled and he goes from the hall of justice to the place of coronation. That is Christ. Here for Caiaphas, soon for Pilate, a man of sorrow, and acclaimed with grief, soon they shall blinded his eyes. Soon they shall mark him. Soon they shall spit in his face. Spit in his face. The Son of the living God. O congregation, that we realize this evening what our sins are and what we can expect of the Lord, that he shall laugh in our destruction and in the days of calamity, in the days that he come on the cloud, but then too late, and then too late forever and forever. Oh, boys and girls, live not so indifferent. Live not indifferent. But that in the days of your youth that you are realizing that the time is coming that you have to give an account of all that you have done, you shall see the Son of Man. We can elect the Lord and we can say, away with him. We can despise his blood and despise all the warnings, but ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And then you shall tremble. Then it shall be mountains and hills fall upon us and cover us from the face of him who is sitting upon the throne. That here in this time state that we may learn to bow before the Lord. Is there people amongst us this evening that is filled with fear for the majesty of the Lord? Oh, in the first place, his majesty and power, that is to the destruction of the enemies, to the certainly destruction of his enemies, but it is also to the deliverance of his people, to learn to bow before him, congregation, before that it is too late. Before that there shall be no more time. No more time. And then have spent our life in the world and in sin and in all those things that was against the will of the Lord. But shall it break up, people, when the day of days shall be there, our own fault? Nothing to bring in before the Lord, no. But oh, that we may learn to find a refuge under the wings of the righteousness of Christ Jesus, and that way that is open for the greatest of sinners. There is still a possibility, people. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger. All people in my midst, I know. There is time and again a voice that say in your heart, you are too old. But do you read it ever in the Bible that you are too old? Do you ever read it? No. Well, that the Lord said, turn unto me, look unto me, all the ends of the world, and thou shalt be saved. There is no excuse, boys and girls, old men and young men. And I can give you this evening the assurance. What assurance, that if you bow before the Most High God, if you ask him to break the power of the devil, to deliver you out of his snares, to convert you, to reconcile you with him, to restore you in his fellowship, when you lay there with your heart in truth and uprightness, the Lord shall not step upon you, no. But his friendly eyes shall look to you. And sooner or later, you shall hear, your sins are forgiven, go in peace. I have suffered for you. I have died for you. I descended for you in hell. And now I am sitting on the right hand of my Father to apply what I have merited. He will fill your heart with his love. He will fill your heart with his grace. He will confirm what he had promised in his precious word. Who findeth me, findeth life, and obtain mercy from the Lord. Let this admonition be not in vain, people, that we stir up one another to seek that Christ and to find in him all that we need to live in comfort and to die in peace. And children of God, that we are weaned upon the world and all the things of the world, and in our inner chamber confessing our guilt and sin, but asking that the Lord will glorify himself in our hearts more and more, that we increase in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is looking for what? Looking forward that we have some work for him. And what is that work? To justify and to sanctify, and afterwards to glorify us. I shall stop for this evening. There are only few words to explain the text this evening. But I hope that the God of all grace, congregation, that he apply it to our hearts, that he will sanctify it to our soul, that he may draw us out of all the things of time and sense, and that we are meditating in the hall of Caiaphas, in the judgment hall of Pilate, and soon on the cross of Calvary, and in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea, where we, witnesses of his burial, but also soon witness the Lord is risen. He is truly risen. And he is seen of Peter. Amen. Lord, bless the preaching and reading and catechizing of this Sabbath day in the heart of many people. Apply it to our hearts, Lord. Sanctify it to our soul. For thy people thou knowest in what darkness that they many times are. But enlighten their eyes that they see the wonders of thy law. Lead them in the state of the humiliation of Christ and of his exaltation. Be with the whole congregation. Remember the elders and the deacons. Remember the whole church in the week that lay before us. We commend it especially also that boy still in intention care. There arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand, that the many prayers end up for him, also here in our congregation. That it be answered, there is nothing too wonderful for him. And that later on that the boys could tell, the Lord had used it for my soul. Be with the teachers and the children and the school board. Remember all the parents also in the hardships and trials and conflicts with children. There is so much in the days in which we are living. But Lord, that we seek thee and bear one another's burden, and so to fulfill the law of Christ. Remember also us in this coming week, where in some churches we are called for prayer day. The labor shall be many from day to day, but Lord, strengthen and sustain us that we remember one another. At the throne of grace, bring us safely back. Strengthen that minister in his weakness, and look upon each and every one. Prepare us above all for that great and ever-ending eternity, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 92. O Lord my God, I look to thee, be thou my righteous judge, I pray. 96 and 8. the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.